Good morning, Kirchen. Welcome.
Morning.
Good to see you out in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise God, we're still able to come freely and openly and worship, gather together in worship and fellowship. I don't think we realize how important that is and how much it pleases the Father's heart that when we come together and gather together and especially the Bible says at this dark hour in which we live in. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we're going to start with that this morning. It says in Hebrews 10, 25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and some so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, how many of us know when God gives us things in the Bible, when he writes things, he's not kidding. When he says it's good for you to gather together and even so much more as you do see the day approaching, it's for your own benefit. It's for your good. God knows what we need, and especially at this dark hour, because definitely we can see the day approaching. There's no doubt about it. Not just with our spiritual eyes. You know, I mean, I've been in the church for 40 some years now, and I remember when I first came to know the Lord years and years ago, and they would talk about, you know, this is the generation that's going to see the return of the Lord. We're going to see all these things. And I used to think it was a spiritual eye. It was something we saw with our spiritual eyes. Let's just put it that way. Because when we looked around, or when I looked around, I didn't really see how this thing was all going to come down. It was hard for me to see the reality of it. But we knew it was in the Word of God, so you mentally assented to it. And we thought, yeah, okay, you know, Jesus is coming back. But today, it is no longer just that we're seeing it with our spiritual eyes. We are seeing it with our physical eyes. There is no doubt what is happening around us. It's no longer hidden in the shadows the way it used to be. It is coming out. It's like there's a curtain being removed. It's coming right out. It's like the spirit world is coming down to the natural world, and it's being manifested. It's being revealed. It's like that curtain has been ripped away, and we're actually seeing it now, seeing what's been there the whole time, but never been revealed or in the natural as it is today. There's no doubt about it. And that day, the Bible says that when so much the more as you see that day approaching. The Bible has much to say about that day. What is that day? The day of the return of the Lord. The day where he is going to judge his people. I shouldn't say his people. He's going to judge the world. The day, it's known in the Bible as the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. There's many others. But suffice to say that we can see the day of the Lord approaching. And the enemy, because he knows it, he knows that this dispensation of grace is almost over. So he is frantically pushing his kingdom into the earth, frantically setting it up. That's why it's called the Great Reset. The people who call it that think this is a great thing. Many of them don't understand that they are working for Lucifer himself, setting up his kingdom, not the kingdom of God. And Lucifer is trying to overthrow God's kingdom. So it's no surprise that we are seeing an increase of evil all around us. And I know that even many Christians are looking around and wondering, where is God in all of this? Why is this all happening? What's he doing? And if Or what should I be doing? You know, we're at a stage in most of the church is waking up and saying, hey, this thing is happening. Well, now what? What do I do? What's God doing? And we know, and we've been taught from the pulpits, that we ought to be shining more and more at this hour. But we really don't know what that practically looks like. What do you mean we're supposed to shine more and more? You know, like many of us are kind of scratching our heads and not really knowing what. And if you don't really know or convinced as to where your part is or what you ought to be doing, you usually sit back and do nothing. It's like you're just waiting for some big revelation to hit you and say, okay, this is where God wants me to be. But as the enemy is moving across the world with his agenda, deceiving the masses with his lies and his perversion, that which has been in the shadows, like I said, is coming to light. It's on full display. We no longer, in the kingdom of God, have to sit and wonder if this kingdom of darkness is really real. Now we see it with our own physical eyes. So here's my point. If the kingdom of darkness is real, and there's no doubt about it, then so is the kingdom of God. So is the kingdom of God. And if the kingdom of darkness is on full display, like never before, across the whole world, then let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is about to be on full display like never before. There is a kingdom. Jesus came down to set up his kingdom. I want to talk about the kingdom this morning because I don't really think we get it or understand what it even is all about. So I'm going to ask a question first. How does the kingdom of darkness, how has it been revealed? Through what means? How do we know that the kingdom of darkness is taking over? How do we know? How do we know that things are getting really, really dark and bad in our world? Well, how do we see it? Through the people. He needs people to set up his evil agenda. We see it in the lives, in the speech, in the actions of the people. Well, at the same token, God our Father uses his people, the bride. You are the church on the earth. You are the body of Christ on the earth. And he uses the church to reveal his kingdom, that the world may know and see who is the true God. This has been going on since the beginning of time. Who is the true God? It started in the Garden of Eden, and it has continued this cosmic battle, good versus evil. Who's the true God? Who is the counterfeit? And it is going to come to a full head, which is where we're leading up to right now. Who is the true God? I mean, just think about the stories in the Bible. Think about Elijah when he calls fire down from heaven after they tried to prove who was the real God. And fire came down and licked up not only the sacrifice, but the altar and the rocks and everything. Poof, it was gone. God wants to demonstrate through his people and take the curtain back and reveal the kingdom of God, where it can be seen with the physical eyes. And he is doing that today on the earth. We don't hear about it out here. We're kind of in a sleepy little old community, you know, out in the West here. But I can tell you, there is a move going on right now. And it seems to be happening in the young people. Our young people. They're tired. They're shaking off religion. They're tired of religion, of having something with no power in it. They want the reality of God. And bless God, God is filling them. God is reaching out to them. There are more of them having dreams and visions. And it's just so exciting what God is doing in the lives of young people. And I'm talking young people. So God needs the people, his people. Or God, I shouldn't say God needs, he uses his people to reveal the kingdom of God. So as the world around us grows darker and darker, and evil increases more and more each day, God's word reminds us of this one basic thing. And I call it basic, not because it's a small thing or an unimportant thing, but because it is the thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. As we look around, we wonder, what can we do? What's our part? Verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense or the sin might abound. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. What conquers sin? What conquers evil? God's grace. God's grace is always the answer. The grace of God will take your eyes off of your performance, and it puts our eyes onto his goodness, his love. Grace is the answer. All things are supplied to us through God's grace. Jesus Christ is the grace of God in the flesh. He came, took our place in our evil, in our bad, in our sin, suffered it all, died when we died in him. When he rose again, we rose in him to be just like him, to a new life. So all things are supplied to us by his grace. God's MO has not changed. How do we walk through these last days in the victory? Through an abundance of God's grace. What do the people in this dark world need to see? They need to see the kingdom of God demonstrated in real time, in real life. What is the kingdom of God? How do we even explain what the kingdom of God is? Because God is calling us to set up, I mean, his kingdom's already here, but he wants us to reveal it. Okay, that's what you are to do at this hour. Reveal the kingdom of God. The kingdom of darkness isn't making any apologies. I can tell you that for free. They don't care. They're pushing that agenda, whether you like it or whether you don't. And yet we always hold back and say, oh, you know, first of all, we're a little bit afraid of what people might think about us, or we might be a little bit afraid. I don't want to be too pushy. Matthew chapter 9, let's read verses, chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. It tells us this, that Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease of the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, verse 36. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here it says Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. What did he see when he looked at these multitudes? It says he was moved with compassion because they fainted. He saw them as they were fainted and scattered abroad. Now, what does that really mean? You mean, were people fainting and weak? No, this is what the word fainted means. In the Greek language, it is made up of two words. Ek luo, I believe is how you pronounce it. Meaning, the first part of it is exceedingly. Exceedingly, and the last part of it means, luo is broken. Cracked. Wrecked, scattered. When something is scattered, it's not whole. It's in pieces. It means And the word scattered means to be cast down without hope. And if we don't see that when we look around in our world today, then you ain't seeing, you aren't looking. The people in the world are broken. So many broken people, scattered. They're cast down. They're depressed. Depression is, and mental illness is at an all-time high. People are so broken. And when Jesus looked out and saw the brokenness of the people, they're lost, utterly cast down, he had compassion. And when you and I look out, I pray that's what we see. Not that we want to fight them, but that we want to reach out and help them. Jesus had compassion. Sounds just like our world today, filled with so many broken people. Depression, mental illness, which causes many to turn to all kinds of things to try to cope, whether it be drugs, alcohol, whatever. Just trying to cope. And that's how you and I need to see the people around us. We need to have the compassion of Jesus. Verse 37, then Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus says that at the end of chapter 9. Then in chapter 10, verse 1, he says this, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then I want us to drop down to verse 7 of that same chapter. Jesus told his disciples, go, as you go, preach, saying, listen carefully, go and preach. As you preach, say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, for freely you have received. Now freely give. I just asked the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? That is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has come upon you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. God's kingdom is on the earth today. We are not sitting here waiting, oh God, thy kingdom come. You know the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is here. It came through the person of Jesus Christ. We're not sitting around waiting for God to set up his kingdom. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, the kingdom is within you. It's within every believer. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 says this about you. And these signs shall follow those who believe. There's kingdom signs that you are a child of the kingdom. In my name, you will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. Now, that's not literally picking up a serpent, but I suppose it could mean that. But it means you could take up anything evil. And you can drink anything deadly, and it will not hurt you. In other words, you're immune to all that. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. These are the signs of the kingdom children. These signs follow all who believe. Are you a believer? That's why we're Christians. We believe. That's what we do. And not only that, before Jesus went back to heaven, because you got to understand, he came down here. Not only did he die for us, not only did he turn the whole thing around, he raised up people to carry out his mission, to carry out the kingdom. He set it up, and then he left, and he said, here, go. You go and do it now. And he's said, but you wait. You wait here. Don't go out and try to do this without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, It tells us, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely you have received, freely give. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you the things that are freely given. Freely. The word freely there is important. That's what grace is. All of these things are freely given. God has freely given you every good thing, every blessing. Freely you have received, freely give. And the thing that grieves, what's the thing that grieves the Holy Spirit? Because he's now in us. We are the temple of the living God. And if God's people, the bride, could ever get a hold of this revelation that I'm sharing this morning as to who you really are, what grieves the Holy Spirit? What, and the word grieves, I looked it up, it means to make very, very sad, very sorrowful. You know, most people, if you ask most Christians, and we hear this even coming from many pulpits, they say sin grieves the Holy Spirit when we sin. And nobody's for sin in the church. We're all against sin. But, wrong answer. Sin does not, it's not sin that grieves and makes sad the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is such a gentle, he's always represented in the Bible as a gentleman, as so gentle. He'll never force himself on you. He will never. That's why, you know, when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they try to pray in the Spirit, they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to take a hold. He'll never do that. He waits for you. He waits for you to accept that, to receive it, and to do it. And then he comes along and he fills you. That's the way it is. It's always your call. Always your call. God doesn't do things ahead of time to prepare you for stuff. It's always now. Faith is always now. It's not tomorrow, and I'm going to wait for a while, and it's going to come. No, 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 no. If you don't do a now thing, if you don't step out and now take it, it's not going to happen. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. It's always now. So let's talk again. Let's go back and answer that question. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, you know that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus. And so you need to ask yourself the question, what grieves Jesus? What's the thing that is so grievous to his heart? What is the thing that saddens him and makes him saddest of all? And you know, sometimes we don't think about that, but Jesus gets very sad. He's very, it's deep with him. And I was just listening to one program on TV here the other day, and they were interviewing Jesse Duplantis. And I've heard Jesse's story of his going to heaven for 11 hours, and Jesus had taken him there for a reason. He had a message he wanted to give him. But he was being interviewed, and he was speaking, and I had forgotten some of the things that he had said. And he, of course, was elaborating even more so on what he saw and what the Lord showed him. But the one thing that really stuck in my heart and actually brought tears to my eyes was before Jesse left heaven, Jesus was giving him some last words, and he said to Jesse, go back and tell my people I'm coming. Make them aware of it. Make it real to them. I'm coming soon. And there was such an urgency in what he was saying to Jesse. And Jesse's, well, you know, they know that. People know that. And he said, Jesus reprimanded him and said, they do not know that. They've heard it, but they don't know it. It's not real to them. Go back and make it real. And then he said this, Jesse, I dread that day. I dread it. And Jesse said he could just see the tears and he's abhorrent of that day. What day is that? The day that the Bible keeps talking about. The day where God's wrath is going to be poured out. The day where the people that haven't received Jesus are going to be cast into hell. You got to understand, God loves those people as much as he loves you, and he's going to lose them forever. And Jesse said, I've seen the grief and the sadness and the sorrow. So now you can understand how wonderful it is to Jesus and how much he appreciates when you and I share him with a friend, with a family member. That's one less tear he's going to have to shed at the end. But you know, we always think about, the Bible talks about wiping away of the tears. They're not our tears. They're his tears. Because he's going to lose a lot of his children. And he knows it. And that's why he said, Jesse, you go back and you tell them. And Jesse's like, eh, why didn't you ask so-and-so? Why are you asking me? So what right now is the most near and dear to the heart of God? People. Souls. Just like it would be to you if any one of your children was in jeopardy of dying forever. There would be nothing else that you would be concerned about at that point. And you would give anybody anything. And of course, God with his endless resources to get that job done. If you knew of someone that could save that child, there would not be a penny you wouldn't spend. There would not be a thing you wouldn't give that you could give to help your child. And God is the same. He is going to equip you with everything you need. If you've got someone that you know is broken and you want to snatch them out of the, and because you know that door is going to close soon, there is nothing God won't give you. There's no ability, no spirit, soul, and body. He's going to equip you to reach that person, but he needs you. That's how he set it up. It's through his people. He doesn't send somebody down from heaven to do the job. It's the bride. It's the kingdom on the earth, the kingdom of God. So what grieves the Holy Spirit? What grieves Jesus? Is when we don't receive his grace. If there's something in your life and you know it's already done, and you can't receive. Oh, no, I don't deserve that. No, I can't take that. Oh, yeah, you should. I know. It's like when somebody's trying to give you a gift. And you just keep pushing it away. It's almost like, shut up and take it. Just say thank you. That's all I want. And when we don't receive, you see, the world hasn't received God's grace, but that's what grieves the heart of Jesus most. And the Bible calls that having a hard heart. And many people are not healed because they have hard hearts. They just, for whatever the reason, they cannot receive it. No, you know, I'm okay. Or any area of life, and I include myself in that. And the Lord's really been dealing with me on these very issues. How can I, if I haven't received freely, how am I going to give it away? Because freely is by grace. It's undeserved favor, undeserved blessings and goodness. We need to realize if God is grieved when you don't receive it, how happy he is when you do. And it has nothing to do with whether you deserve it or not. Just like I said 2 weeks ago when I was talking about healing, we're not healed because we eat right. We're not healed because we live right. We're healed for one reason and one reason only, by his stripes. By his stripes. And the Holy Spirit comes to tell us, we just read in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse whatever it was, that the Holy Spirit, we haven't been given the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit that comes from God, that he might freely show us the things of God that are freely given. Is given in future? And we're sitting around waiting for God to heal us, for God to bless us, for God to give us something? No, he shows us the things that God has already freely given. That's past tense. It's given. It's done. Now it's up to you and I, and like I said a couple of weeks ago when it came to healing, to take a hold of it and say, okay, it's mine. It is mine. And then the Bible says faith without works is dead faith. What is the works of faith? When you really believe something, you begin to speak it. You begin to call it forth. It's mine. You begin to speak like it's yours. You don't 1 minute say, yes, bless God, by his stripe I'm healed. And then 5 minutes later say, oh man, I've got this problem. I've had this problem forever. That tells me you didn't really believe it in the first place. Because it has not changed the way you speak. Even the enemy knows that. Why do you think he's changing speech in the world? Why do you think all the pronouns are being changed? He knows the power of words. There are some words you're not supposed to use today. They're changing meanings and definitions and twisting. Why? Because the enemy knows. He knows full well. You speak what you want to see. You don't speak what you see. Just like God did not speak what he saw in the beginning. He looked out, it was like dark, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And I mean, that's just like us. We look around and say, oh, it's so dark out there. Oh, it's so evil. I'm going back in my house and shut the door. No. God looked out and he said, light be, and light was. That's what we ought to do by faith. When we see darkness around us, light be. God's calling us to reveal that kingdom. But until we take a step out and do it. And like I was telling some of my closer friends here last week, God is looking for people that are passionate. Just like on a hockey team. You don't want people on the team just to say, oh, I belong to that team. Lots of kids want to be on the team just for the status of being on the team. But what are you looking for? You're looking for someone who is never going to give up. You're looking for someone who may not be the best player or the most talented, but bless God, he's got heart. He's got passion. That's the person you can work with. That's the person that's going to be the greatest on the team. He's going to work the hardest, and he's going to take risks. He's going to fall down, and he's going to get right back up, and he's going to go. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He is just out there. He's enjoying what he's doing. He's passionate about the game. That's the kind of people God is looking for. He's not looking for lazy people. He's looking for people that have such a heart and passion for the kingdom of God. And there's no telling what the Lord will do with that life. Imagine, the end is coming. People are dying. People are going to hell. There is a hell. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. We know that. There isn't multiple ways. And the Father knows this. And what would give him the greatest pleasure right now is to see his bride just rise up to the occasion and say, enough is enough. Begin to be that light he's called you to be. So Jesus was not grieved with sin. Why? Because he knows what's in our flesh. But what grieves him is our hardness of heart, our inability to receive. That we cannot receive freely his grace and his love. And do you know that this is an act of self-righteousness? Did you know that? I want to be righteous by my own good deeds. The God our Father, who loves us all so very much that we can't even, well, God's love is something the Bible says that even our natural mind can't understand, is so grieved when you do not receive the things that his love and his grace has freely given us. The kingdom of God, we just read in the book of Matthew, when Jesus sent out the disciples, he said, go to the villages and teach and preach, saying, the kingdom of God is come upon you. Now, you have to understand that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. God wants his church, his bride, to rise up and be the kingdom of God to a world that is broken, a world that is hurting and dying. We need to take this thing seriously and not just mentally assent to what's going on, but to demonstrate it. This is the hour of the demonstration of, I call it the demonstration, because that's what's going to reveal the kingdom of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said to you in the book of Corinthians, he says, I come to you with fear and trembling, pretending to know nothing. And I demonstrated, I didn't speak eloquent words, but in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And that's what brings people to Jesus. They're looking for the reality of this kingdom. Don't wait around till you feel the power. Release the power by faith, and you will feel it. Do you understand? It's like the church is sitting down and waiting for something to happen. And Jesus is looking at us and saying, you are what's going to happen. Just like he sent out his disciples and said, go. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where? How? In them. Bring it. Bring it to the world. So let's not be ashamed of the gospel of grace and not be concerned about what others might think. Like I said earlier, those in the dark world, in the kingdom of darkness, sure as heck don't care what the rest of the world thinks. I mean, I see things that I can't believe I'm seeing. God said the kingdom of God is within you. He has sent us into the world, according to John chapter 17, even as Jesus was sent into the world. John chapter 1 verse 4 says this, in him was life. Jesus first came on the scene. You remember John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then it goes on to explain. It says in verse 4, there it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible tells us to rise up and let your light shine. What is shining? The life of Jesus. You are one with that life. You are the light of men. We're looking to God for the answer to what's going on around us. And Jesus is saying, I ain't coming back to shine. You shine. All power, all authority has been given unto me. Now you go therefore. In other words, if it belongs to him, it belongs to us. Why? Because we're his body. That's why he sent us out. Go. You are the light of men, the light of the world. Why? Because his life is in you. You are the salt of the earth. Mark chapter 9, verses 49 and 50, Jesus said this, you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Why the salt? Well, back in that day, they didn't have refrigerations or refrigerators or freezers, things to preserve their food. So what did they use? Salt. They salted stuff to preserve it. Okay, so salt is a preserving thing. It preserves things. And it says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice will be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. In other words, the Bible tells us that if you have lost your saltiness, you are good for nothing. I mean, if you have a piece of meat before you and you're going to put salt on and the salt has lost its saltiness, why would you use it? It's good for nothing. Throw it out. And then if you go, so what is this salt, and what does it mean that you are the salt of the earth? Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's let scripture answer scripture. Colossians 4, 6. says this, let your speech be always with grace. There is grace. What does it mean? Let your speech always be with grace. Grace is undeserved kindness, favor. Always speak gracious words to others. Always want to set them free and build them up. Okay? Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You are the answer. Salt, meaning words. Words. You are the salt of the earth. You are the ones that God has given the ability to call things into being. Light be. Life be. Salt. But if you're not speaking words, you're good. It's good for nothing. Even though it's in you, if it's not coming out, it's absolutely worthless. You are the light and you are the salt of the earth. God's kingdom is in you. You are the kingdom of God on the earth. You are the answer to what's going on around us. You need to see it as such. You need to realize that that is what God wants us to be doing at this hour. Tear back that curtain, reveal God's kingdom, demonstrate. Realize that these signs will follow you. Have faith. That if God said you're the salt of the earth, then so are you. If you're the light of the world, then so you are. If the kingdom of God is within you, then go out. Remember when in one of the Gospels, I'm not sure exactly where that scripture is, but Jesus had sent them out to do the same thing. He had sent out actually 70 of them. You see how much he wanted people to be healed and well and come into the kingdom. And there was one man who had a son who had epilepsy. And the disciples were unable to cast it out. And I see that, how Jesus reacted to that. And I'm sure that's how he's reacting to us, who, us church people, us the bride of Christ, his people down here, the kingdom of God, who are looking up to him and crying and say, oh God, you know, this is not moving, this is not happening, look what's happening here, look what's happening there. And when Jesus realized, the Father had come to Jesus and said, you know, we brought our son to your disciples, but they were unable to cast this demon out. Jesus said, oh, generation, how long am I going to put up with you? Like, he knew, I'm leaving here. I've got to get these guys to understand who they are, what they have, and what their commission is. And they could not cast this demon out. So he said, bring the child here. So then Jesus cast out the demon from this young child. And so God wants us. He's behind you. The Holy Spirit is in you. There's no more he can give you that will make you any more successful. He just needs, like I said, God's not looking for smart people, talented people. He's looking for yielded people to bring this thing home. And so it's a word that has been burning in my heart, and I know that it is the hour for the church to rise up, shine. You are the light of the world. And let the glory of the Lord be revealed. Let it be seen. We sometimes think that people, you know, just aren't ready for this. I think they're ready. More than you think, than you would even know. But let it begin with, you know, and if you're at a place where you think, well, I'm not ready to get out there. I'm not, you know, that's okay. But just realize and understand that's where God's taking you. Take the time. Spend time with the Lord. Ask him. Get that connection between you and God going. He's a person. He'll work with you. He'll give you wisdom and understanding on the words to speak, the people to speak to. You know, I mean, there's a lot. You don't have to go up to people and say, oh, you know, you need to get saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I simply just ask them, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands on you? You don't even have to pray. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Just lay your hands on them. If you can't say anything else, just say Jesus. God will use that. Because it's not you. It's the faith. It's your faith in trusting him to display his kingdom. But let him yield yourself to him. Be there. Speak those few words. It might be just take a few words. It might be just praying for someone. But trust and have faith that God is going to use you. God will flow through you. Receive the grace of God, because that's receiving it. He wants you to receive it. Why? So you can give it away. But we're still busy sitting here trying to receive it. And God is saying, no, you get out there. Get. I've given you all you need to know. I've given you all the power that you need. The same power that's in me is in you. Go out and use it. And I believe that there will be a sweep of the revelation of the kingdom of God, unlike any other one this world has ever seen. And then we're out of here. But we're going to take as many with us as we can. Amen. Let's have communion. Okay, well, I'll take my communion. You can take my juice over. May as well call them out. Should we call them out? I think so. Opportunity to gather together and to partake of the bread of life, the body of Jesus that was given up for us, Lord. We just give thanks, Father God, that your word teaches us that he took all of our sickness, all of our disease, and suffered it for us, that we might be set free. Father God, we thank you that as we partake of this bread, which represents the stripe that Jesus took on his back, we give thanks and praise that we are the healed, Father God. And not only are we the healed, but we're the healing to the nations as well. Father, I just give thanks and praise that by his stripe, we have been healed. I just thank you that every person in our church community, Father God, is made perfectly whole and healthy through the body that was given up for us. And we give you the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And after they had broke the bread, they took the cup and gave thanks. Father, we give thanks for this cup, for this is the cup of our salvation, the blood that was shed to wash away all our sin. And Father God, not one sin was forgotten. We are completely washed clean and set apart because of that blood, made righteous just like Jesus. It has delivered us and taken us out from underneath the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Father God, I thank you that that kingdom is within us. And Father God, this blood that was shed is giving us protection each and every day. It is upon our houses, it is on our business, and it's most especially upon our family, our children, and our grandchildren. And we thank you, Father God, for continued protection as we walk through this world. And we give you all the praise through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen.